You hungering for something new this summer? HelloFresh has got your back. With pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions, your new favorite meal could be prepared in under 30 minutes. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, when you use the code FOOTBALLERS14 at HelloFresh.com/FOOTBALLERS14.
And Foot Clan, while you've been staying home, staying safe, maybe things got a little bit out of control with the snacking. And now is the time to get fit with Echelon. Echelon is the affordable way to get the workout equipment, the workout community, and an instructor's motivation right at the comfort of your own home. Echelon's fitness app provides you thousands of live and on-demand classes with great music from your favorite artists. You can work out anytime because the equipment's at your place. Day, night, crush your fitness goals. Just pick your class, climb the leaderboard, cheer each other on, and give it your all. Echelon's full range of affordable workout equipment includes a stationary bike, smart rowers, sleek fitness screens, or the auto folding treadmill. They're all connected to provide the Echelon experience. And right now, you can get the Echelon EX3 bike risk-free for 30 days, plus free shipping and assembly. To get this offer, it's an exclusive offer. With these free bonuses valued at $250, go to echelonfit.com/fantasy. That's echelonfit.com/fantasy for this free offer. echelonfit.com/fantasy.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Another spectacular day. Monday, August 9th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike, the Fantasy Hitman Wright, is here.
This is going to be the best Monday, August 9th of all time, fellas.
Whoa.
Certainly of this year.
Certainly of this year, but I'm calling it now.
Jason Moore, present, accounted for.
I'm going to be part of the greatest show ever, at least definitely of this year, on August 9th. But maybe
wait,
all
you're
time.
Going. See, I was just declaring that it's going to be the best August 9th. You're going, it's the best show.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what we do here. We do a show, and it's going to be awesome.
When you keep raising the bar, every show, because every show is the best show we've ever done. Is there a point where we can't reach our own bar?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, you run out of oxygen at a certain altitude, you know? It's like you can't climb up an infinite Mount Everest, so we'll have to figure out where we die.
It's important to make the claims before the show has taken place.
Right.
Because there's just infinite upside at that. It's like the way we talk about fantasy players right now.
Yeah.
There's no ceiling too high for Antonio Gibson, for Mike. He can reach the stars.
Yeah.
Wide receiver ranking show today. Tons of NFL news to talk about. We have plenty of training camp hype and videos proliferating on Twitter where, you know, wide receivers are catching passes from their quarterbacks at camp. Have you heard about this?
I've seen it, too. Yeah.
Sometimes it's against no defenders. Sometimes it's like little out routes and the crowd goes wild when they catch it. I saw Zach Wilson throw a little out route to Corey Davis. Oh, boy. The potential of that combination.
The Falcons tweeted out about the chemistry between Matt Ryan and Kyle Pitts on it's just those two, and he threw it to the corner of the end zone, and caught it. He caught it with nobody else around.
I'm going to need you to send that to me.
Yeah, I remember warming up in our flag football league, and sometimes we didn't complete those passes. But if we had completed them,
We would have been in the NFL.
But no, lots to talk about. You can watch the show on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballer. Subscribe, click the bell, like and comment on there. Twitter at the FFBallers, Instagram.com/FantasyFootballers. If you want to follow Mike,
please do.
Mix it up on your Twitter feed at FFHitman, Jason at JasonFFL. And then I'm at Andy Holloway. I will only be tweeting in Comic Sans from right now forward.
Yes. Yes. I can't wait to talk about that.
Is that in our news? I'm sure it is. All right. Let's get right into it.
news and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Well, let's start with some exciting news. For the Stallion himself,
excellent.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen has been signed to a six-year, $258 million extension. I believe $150 million of that was guaranteed. Not quite Brooks money, but we're getting there. We're getting there for Josh Allen.
Brooks remembers when he made his first $150 million.
Yeah.
He was 12 years old that day.
Heck of a lemonade stand. He was. But Josh Allen, long-term extension. There were rumors about this for a while. They had been talking. There you go. He's the quarterback in Buffalo. No questions asked for the next six years. And so, I mean, what does this mean for fantasy?
Nothing. We all knew he was locked in as their franchise quarterback. And while a running back getting paid can make a difference, a quarterback is all he's doing is setting a market for other quarterbacks.
Justin Jefferson, day-to-day after an AC joint sprain. It looked a little scary. Could have been a collarbone. Mm-hmm. Could have been something that kept him out longer. Seems like they avoided major injury there. Julio Jones' leg injury is, quote, nothing major. Ian Rappaport talked about this. I've seen people talk about it. You know, Julio Jones has been a managed player for the last several years in terms of practices.
He's the king of nothing major injuries.
Right. He has only minor injury, Julio Jones. But they're going to do this. I mean, he's 33 years old, and he manages little injuries all the time, maybe so he can skip practice in camp. But they'll...
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
This was news. DJ Chark, surgery for a hairline fracture of his finger. Urban Meyer says he expects him to play on week one. I have buried DJ Chark this offseason with agreement from you guys. Does this, I mean, matter much?
It doesn't. We have seen plenty of times, if you remember last season, several wide receivers would break their finger and they might miss a week. They might miss no time and come and play with it after that little surgery. So even though it sounds really, really bad, it's you know, especially with the time before the season, this shouldn't be a worry. The reason DJ Chark is a worry is not due to the broken finger. I think it
piles on
DJ Chark.
Some
can't
extra
build
worry.
A rapport with a rookie quarterback.
Exactly. If you
on
had
the sideline,
if you were holding out hope, I mean, like DJ Chark has impressive physical attributes, and there was a chance that he could be the guy. But when you're missing all this time, and Laviska Shenault is getting all that hype, and Marvin Jones is being quietly unappreciated, I think by fantasy football players, this is not great for Chark.
Yeah, I think the thing with Marvin Jones is that he was selected by this existing staff. You know, they went out and signed him for a purpose. So he could be more interesting than we're giving him credit for in the fantasy space.
Agreed.
Patriots tight end Hunter Henry injured his shoulder in Sunday's practice, having an MRI.
Ooh.
It was painful. He could miss some time this preseason. And Dalton Keene is already out. Does this change your viewpoint on the kind of Swiss Army knife, you know, Jonnu Smith?
You see the Jonnu was getting carries?
Yeah, I mean, why not? If, of all the places to do that, we have a history of tight ends getting work out of the backfield in New England. Are we underappreciating his potential with the renewed offense?
I don't think we are. Obviously, if Hunter Henry were to be out and this were a long-term injury, then it would certainly move Jonnu Smith up the board. But I think Hunter Henry still projects to be out there, and splitting two tight ends, unless they're Gronk and Hernandez, they're going to eat into each other. And I'll just spoil it right now. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are not Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. So
okay.
I don't think there's enough offense to go around for two tight ends.
All right. Traquan Smith missed practice with an apparent leg injury. I don't remember. Have we brought that up on the show before?
Yeah, we mentioned that he's missing
time. I
thought
we did. Yeah, and that whole wide receiver room is troubled right now. One of the big pieces of news was this morning, more Comic Sans gas poured on the fire that is doubt for Michael Thomas. I mean, I'm seeing hashtags can't draft Mike going around.
So
and
explain what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he basically went out and this morning tweeted a very wonderful Comic Sans written tweet. It says, they tried to damage your reputation. You saved theirs by not telling your side of the story.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love high school. It was a lot of fun when I would write things like that, like, you know, total passive aggressive. I mean,
the team did come out in the last week and talk about the fact that he didn't return phone calls. The medical staff couldn't reach him for months. And then once they finally did, he had to go get the surgery. Did you guys read that article?
Yes.
So, I mean, he had the opportunity to choose to have the surgery that he's undergoing now, where he'll miss in-season time. He could have done it 3-4 months ago, chose a more conservative rehab route, didn't call the team back, according to this report, and then ended up having to get the surgery months later, costing the Saints. So that's what this is a response to.
And having said all of that, the worst thing that Michael Thomas has done was tweet out his passive-aggressive statement in Comic Sans font. What? You are a grown man, Michael Thomas. Like, we're not all graphic designers, and that's fine. I'm definitely not a graphic designer, but I know that you don't send out tweets in papyrus or Comic Sans. You want to be treated with any sort of dignity.
I feel like we can be agents of change here, right? We got hundreds of thousands of people listening. Don't use Comic Sans. Like, just don't.
Let's put papyrus in there, too, because yes. I've seen too many restaurants choose papyrus
for their logo.
As their default logo font, because they get on the computer and they're like, I don't want this to be Arial or Times New Roman, so let's mix it up with one of the cool fonts. And there's only so many default. It's Impact, Papyrus, Comic Sans.
To be fair to papyrus, the first time you see it, you're like, oh, that's an interesting, unique font. I'm sure that no one else has used this.
This is a font show.
Yes.
This is a font
show. Fantasy font ballers. getting back to the news with Traquan Smith and everything going on there, it certainly does seem more and more and more likely that Adam Trautman is an important target in the offense. He's the only guy that we haven't heard of injuries and missing time.
And Deontay Harris, DUI.
Yes.
Callaway. Also, he had missed some time. And then Marquez Callaway is kind of the player that is worth mentioning at this point.
Go check your Dynasty waiver wire. It's possible that Callaway is just chilling out there.
Darren Waller has missed. So they don't know any. Just to be clear, the Saints don't know who their wide receivers or quarterbacks are. So
not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Darren Waller has missed the last 5 practices for undisclosed reasons.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up when we were talking about the good news with Justin Jefferson, Julio Jones, minor injuries, not worried. Every team's going to say whatever they want because you don't have to report the truth about any injuries right now. So we have no idea, and the Raiders don't have to tell us anything, but it's worth monitoring and noting that he has been, you know, gone for a week.
Will Lutz could miss time to start the season. He's one of the best fantasy kickers, so be aware that they're trying out other kickers right now. He may have a core muscle injury that could cost him time, surgery. Yep. We don't know. Falcons signed Deontay Foreman, who is back in the league.
Okay. Man, loved that dude.
Wow, I didn't know this. This is breaking to me. Cardinals signed Ito Smith.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my word.
You excited, Jason?
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard. You follow up this great news of Deonta Foreman signing with an NFL team, and then you got to tell me that the Cardinals... Oh, that's gross.
Well, Deontay Foreman recovering from an Achilles injury never really was the same, and Ito Smith playing as though he already had an Achilles injury.
Two of them, yeah.
All right, that was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper. Sleeper is currently by far the largest Dynasty platform, extremely customizable. We love Dynasty because you play all year long. You get that communication with your league mates. So definitely check that out. Today's a wide receiver show. And unless I'm missing other news, are we ready to move forward? We ready to get into it?
Let's go.
Wide receivers.
All right. Today is our top 10 wide receiver rankings show. We'll be getting into all the position groups over the course of the week, 5 days a week. And we're looking at our half PPR rankings. And in truth, these top 10 shows, I mean, there are things that we already know about these players, right? They're there for a reason. You're familiar with them. These are the elites of the elites. It's hard to, you know, at this point, we are splitting hairs over a number of these players. So take it with a grain of salt when we say something negative about them, because at the end of this episode, they're all still in our top 10. Fair, right?
Yeah. And really, there's, I mean, all the pluses of these players should be widely known. That's why they're, you know, so highly ranked. So we're going to talk about maybe the question marks and where to think about the bad.
Well, and the truth is, despite their rankings, over the last 5 years, there is a 44% bust rate. So that would be any of these players finishing outside the top 15, not up to expectations.
However, 55% of those were due to injury. And you just can't, we know this, we can't predict injury. So that's just the luck of the draw in fantasy.
Yep, you were just trying to mitigate risk with your picks. You're trying to get the best level of guarantee possible in fantasy, which is only a certain level, right? You can't guarantee against injury, but you can take a look at the whole situation. Devontae Adams, number one, not a surprise here. There was doubt. There were question marks. There were problems brewing with Aaron Rodgers, but at this point in time, we know that Rodgers is back. And we know that Devontae Adams is the best. 148 targets in only 14 games last year. 1,374 yards, 18 touchdowns. And that's with, like I said, missing half a week three, weeks four and five. Scored 10 plus touchdowns in four or five seasons.
Yeah, I mean, his missing those games, he was on pace for 1,668 yards and 22 touchdowns. The guy's a touchdown machine. You can't stop him at the goal line. They, with Aaron Rodgers, they choose to go to that play as often as they run it. Obviously, this is an offense that's going to score a lot of points, even if they regress closer to, you know, a high-end NFL average, which they will, that's still going to be a great offense. And so when you have that level of target volume, that level of consistency, if you're on Join the Foot, if you're a Footland supporter, you go to his profile on our website and you could see the game log highlighted. It's just unbeatable. I mean, having Devontae Adams when he's got Aaron Rodgers is a true unfair advantage. So I think the question is, where are you willing to actually pull the trigger and avoid a running back and take that first-round wide receiver?
Right. Over the last 10 years or so, wide receivers drafted number one have been more stable than the quarterbacks and running backs. So that is the question. Like, where do you fault anybody for pulling the trigger on him as high as, let's say, number three?
Number three overall?
Yeah.
I personally would not do that. But, like, to me, I'm looking at the running backs, you know, McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, those guys for sure I'm taking over him. Then Zeke, I would as well. Aaron Jones. Interesting enough, I mean, Saquon Barkley might be that tier break for me, just of the concerns at the beginning of the season. But then you also, if you're drafting Barkley and realize it's going to take some time for him to really get going, but after at least a month at the longest, you should have real Saquon Barkley back, and then you have an advantage of a three-down running back. I'm still taking Travis Kelce over Devontae Adams because there's only one Travis Kelce, and even though Devontae Adams projects out to be the best wide receiver for us, there's still, you know, at least five guys where you'd be super happy to take them as the first wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, I love Devontae Adams. I can't sing his praises high enough. And yet, when I draft him, you know, if I'm near the, you know, the eight spot or something like that, and I pull the trigger on him, I usually don't like my team as much as when I can have the first round stud running back, because
you've been able to stack wide receivers.
Yeah, those middle round wide receivers are just phenomenal. So it's really difficult. This is a question for you. While you're getting ready for your drafts, go to sleep or do a mock draft and draft them. See if you like your team grabbing Davante Adams or this next guy, Tyreek Hill.
It does seem like if you take Adams early, you are boxed into running back round two, which is the last position you want to be in. Or at least it seems like you might be.
See, and for me, it's even scarier in round three or round four. Because let's say you go to round three and you did go running back round two. Now I feel like I'm boxed into my second running. Unless I want to go.
What about a three wide receiver league?
Certainly. That's,
would you take Adams?
Yes.
Is it worthwhile taking him even one overall in a league like that? Would you ever take him there?
I wouldn't take him one overall because Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, those guys are just too. They score too many points in one position.
Would you go the 103?
Yeah, I think I would be willing
to.
Probably not my personal strategy, but I wouldn't fall. If you're a three wide receiver full PPR, wide receivers become far more important.
All right, Tyreek Hill is number two on the list. There is consensus agreement with these two players at the top of the board. 1,276 yards, 15 touchdowns last year, two rushing touchdowns, finished at number two at the position. He has matured into kind of, you know, the days of former Tyreek Hill being explosive and not consistent are gone. 135 targets. He is the kind of player that can completely win you a week and a half, right? I mean, he had a game with two, 13 for 269 and three last year. So
yeah, and most of that was in the first half.
Yeah, so he's very fun to have on your fantasy roster. But again, you're going to have to spend up on him. His average draft position is the eighth pick in the first round. And Mike, if you're heads up with Tyreek and his teammate Travis Kelce, you're going Kelce.
I am going Kelce, yes.
Since 2017, he's tied with Davante Adams for the most multi-touchdown games. So those are the weak winning type of games. The one kind of interesting caveat to Tyreek is he has been dominant on the road. 17 fantasy points a game on the road for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
he's the best road wide receiver ever.
Yeah.
He loves hotel living.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Get that room service.
The one negative I would bring up with Tyreek Hill and just a slight bit of caution. You brought this up a second ago, Andy, in the fact that it seems like he put the consistency problems away, right? Last season, extremely consistent. However, I've brought this up several times. Consistency is not a very consistent metric. It goes back and forth. Volume is a better indicator. And when you're talking about 130 targets versus Davante Adams, who could be 170 targets, you're more likely to have that come in spurts. And I don't view Tyreek as a super consistent player, despite him doing it this year. Remember 2018, he was the wide receiver one. He was the best wide receiver in fantasy football, and he had seven games outside the top 24. The variance can come at the very least.
Was there any temptation to put him ahead of Adams once you knew Rodgers was coming back? Like, or was that definitive? Like, Adams was going to be at the one spot.
Adams was definitely the one for me. If this is a dynasty league, I think Tyreek is my number one overall player in dynasty.
Yeah, there are question marks about the future of Adams in Green Bay as well as Rodgers. Whereas Mahomes is in, what, a 40, 50-year contract? Is that what it was?
Yeah, minimum.
Okay. Adams has never played one year. He's played a full season. He's always banged up for a couple games.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So those two guys at the very tippy top of the wide receiver rankings, you know you're going to get production.
Yep, and before we get to number three, I want to thank HelloFresh.
HelloFresh.
Hey.
With HelloFresh, you're going to get pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering, seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. I hate going to the grocery store. I hate figuring out what is for dinner. And I love cooking. Like, I actually enjoy making a meal and having fresh food and eating healthier.
Eating the food.
Eating fresh food. Like, I love eating the food. It's my favorite part. But all the hassle, all the stuff you don't like is taken away by HelloFresh. And they have meals for everyone. You could go family style. You could go healthy. You can go vegetarian. Whatever you like to eat, they're going to give it right to your door, right for you. You're going to absolutely love it. And it's a great value. It's 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than if you're getting a restaurant meal. So go to HelloFresh.com/footballers14 and use the code footballers14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/footballers14 and use the code footballers14 for 14 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
We also want to thank IP Vanish for supporting this podcast. I'm sure we've all felt this way, like you're being followed around on the internet.
Somebody's watching me.
Maybe the advertisers know a little too much about you. You know, it's like you whisper something in a back room, and
yes,
and then all the internet ads start to sell you something that you've been thinking about. Look, our sponsor, IP Vanish VPN, it's here to help you take back your privacy so you can be anonymous on the internet, not deal with that crap. Super easy to use. You turn it on with the click of a button. It runs seamlessly in the background. It helps protect you while you're browsing the web. And they have 24/7 support in case you run into any issues. So we love that. Go to ipvanish.com/footballers and claim your 65% savings. Their annual plan is just $44.99 for the first year with our exclusive discount. That's for a full year. And this is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotion, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish is the best of the best. They are rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it is ipvanish.com/footballers to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. Moving forward in our wide receiver rankings, our top 10 wide receivers show, we finally have a disparity on our rankings.
We did it.
I buried him.
Stephon Diggs comes in at number 3, but way, 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 way down at 4 for Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't realize you had him at 3, Mike. Is this a recent change, or do I not pay attention to you enough?
You don't pay attention.
Okay, last year, 166 targets, so piggybacking on what you said about the volume being an indicator of future success, 127 catches, 1,535 yards, and 8 touchdowns. He was the wide receiver 3 last year, and those two other guys, I meant to bring it up. I mean, 18 touchdowns for Adams, 15 for Hill. Sure, you look at Adams and you say he's probably a guarantee for double digit, but there's a big difference between 11 and 18 on the fantasy stats. So
yeah.
Stephon Diggs only had 8 last year. That number could absolutely go up.
He could easily catch double-digit touchdowns with Josh Stallion and his ability. That 100% he could be a double-digit touchdown guy.
Huge, huge breakout season, though, for him last year in Buffalo. And now his quarterback's been paid. He's been paid. What can go wrong? I mean,
I was going to say,
I don't think anything can go wrong.
Of everything we have seen for Josh Allen,
knock on wood,
over his him in college, him in the pros, and making that absolute ludicrous jump from 2 years ago to last year, what we saw where he went from, yeah, he's out there helping his team win games. I'm not knocking that, but the way he did it was far different than what happened last year when he was playing at an MVP level.
I was going to say he was an MVP level quarterback.
Yeah, he was sensational last year. Is there any chance that that just happened to be the best season that Josh Allen will ever put out there, and he will regress, maybe not to the 2 years ago form, but you see more erratic throws. You see a drop in that completion percentage. You think that there is a 0% chance that there's any sort of regression for Josh Allen.
So I think there will be regression statistically this year, but I don't think there's going to be regression in the talent, in the skill. I think he leveled up and it's legitimate. I don't think he's going to start playing erratically or inaccurately. I think where the issue could come up, and I've brought this up before in the debate between Josh Allen and Kyler Murray, is that I feel like what the Buffalo Bills did last year was, I mean, the max of what they could do. Their offense was pretty much perfect, especially for fantasy and for the passing game. They were 60-40 pass to run. The running game didn't exist.
Right.
So I do see that if the offense from an NFL level gets better and they're able to run the ball more, there's been some more Zach Moss hype in camp recently. If they were to become a little bit more balanced, throw the ball less, I could see the statistics coming down a little bit in the passing for Josh Allen and for Stephon Diggs, All that being said, I do agree with Andy. There's no way it goes wrong outside of injury. It's not like Diggs is all of a sudden going to come out and be down at 125 targets or catch 50% of the balls. Like, the offense,
it runs through Diggs.
Yeah.
And they were successful. Like what you're talking about, maybe there's some more balance, but they don't need more balance.
No.
They, you know, and there were
I don't want them to get it.
There was 572 different passes that looked like a leveled up Josh Allen last year. That would be kind of my contention, is that you just can't go do it consistently for that long without there being, I don't know, something to reward with $150 million. So,
and these look great in camp from all reports. So I do think it's leveled up.
Calvin Ridley comes in at number four. I have him at six. Jason has him up at three. Mike at four. Probably hurts Mike a little bit to not be the highest on Calvin Ridley.
It does.
Sorry about that, Mike.
It does. I should probably move him up.
Well, he's Jason's my guy.
You're going to have to take him to two, Mike.
Just a competition between your rankings. He finished as the wide receiver four last year?
Yep.
90 for 13, 74, and 9. 143 targets. I mean, I've tried to find a reason to doubt him all offseason. I guess I doubt him having him at six.
That actually is doubting Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, you say he's going to have a worse year this year without Julio. Obviously, we got to see him in several games without Julio. He was, in that small sample, a better wide receiver, fantasy speaking. More yards, more targets, more touchdowns, more fantasy points. So I do think he is the clear-cut one. He should have 160-plus targets. He is unbelievably talented. I mean, you just watch the film, and he's somehow always wide open. Like, I need to watch more All 22 film, because I never see it. The ball ends up being thrown, and then there's Calvin Ridley wide open 20 yards down the field.
Didn't he have a goose last year? Like a full 0 point game? I'm trying to remember. I thought he had
He did in week four, but he had five targets in that game and left with an injury.
Yeah, but that was late, I think. That was really late in that
64%
game.
64% of the snaps.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, I remember that game where it was like, what's happening? You know, he had the number two and number one finish in the first 2 weeks, and all of a sudden he had disappeared. No, I mean, Ridley is great. I think I like Kyler Murray and Kirk Cousins a little bit more than I like Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
So that attachment for Hopkins and Jefferson have those guys a little bit higher than Ridley, but I just don't know. It's a tough division, right? They were the basement last year. The offense is – they're just signing a running back a week to try to figure out who's going to complement Mike Davis.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's – you have a guaranteed baseline with Calvin Ridley. The only question mark I think you would have would be, you know, does he compete in the touchdown totals, because is the offense good enough to get him there with some of the other elite players? Probably does, because historically that's what he's done.
Yeah, he's been solid around the end zone and finding the end zone from far away both. New
offensive coordinator, too.
Yeah, there is change here. There is a new offensive coordinator. Matt Ryan is not a spring chicken, and I don't think it is a 0% chance.
Where does that expression come from? Is that when they're born? Is that in spring?
Yeah, I would imagine that most chickens
You've had chickens before.
I did not breed them. Oh. I ate their eggs. So sorry, little guys. You're delicious.
You didn't wait to see if they'd hatch in spring, did you?
No.
Sorry, little guys. You're delicious.
It's a spring omelet.
Yeah, it's a spring omelet.
Man.
That means it's a real young one.
Matt Ryan's not a spring omelet.
Yeah. So I will say this. I definitely think Diggs and Hopkins are safer than Calvin Ridley. Because of Kyler Murray, because of Josh Allen. It is not a 0% chance that Matt Ryan hits the wall of his career this season and falls off. It's happened to every quarterback at some point. Now, none of us are projecting that right now, but he is the worry for me for Calvin Ridley, is Matt Ryan.
Let's just to educate our listeners, because that's what we try to do. The origin of the phrase did come from the fact that farmers found out chickens born in the spring brought better prices than the old ones that went through winter.
Mm.
So are you saying Matt Ryan is an old chicken that went through winter?
He's a wintered veteran.
Okay.
They call him Matty Ice.
Oh, because he's been through winter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Mike, I mean,
I have no doubt that Matt Ryan is going to be perfectly fine. I didn't see anything last year that says otherwise. I mean, statistically, he's right in line with the rest of his career. Matt Ryan, it's a new offense, definitely, but you already have what we have seen with Matt Ryan in new offense after new offense after new offense is he always has a great connection with his wide receiver one, from Julio back to Roddy White. Like, Matt Ryan is a great quarterback, and Calvin Ridley led the NFL with the most air yards, most targets of 20-plus yards down the field. Calvin Ridley goes deep. Matt Ryan is still more than capable of throwing that pass, so I have no concerns about Calvin Ridley. And Ridley, to me, can easily finish as the overall wide receiver one, and you're able to get him in the second half of the second round. So he is one of my favorite players, ADP-wise.
So you would say he's not being drafted at a ceiling. His ceiling is higher.
Correct.
All right, Hopkins comes in at 5. We all actually have him at 5. He's being drafted as the wide receiver 4 right now in the second round. 160 targets last year. Finished at 5 and had 1,407 yards. And here's the key number. Only 6 touchdowns in this offense. So the 115 catches, the 1,400 yards, that was the that supplied the fantasy value for your team. You couldn't count on touchdowns from Hopkins. I think part of that we'd all attribute to Cliff and having issues with play calling around the end zone, not putting the ball in his playmaker's hands.
And Kyler running
the ball in and making mistakes.
Exactly. You get around the goal line and he has an extra weapon that can score touchdowns on the ground. And, you know, we talk about that with Damian Harris, that Cam Newton will vulture those touchdowns. Well, if you run them in, you're not passing them in either.
Well said.
Thank you. You had 20 passing touchdowns his rookie year, 26 last year. It's a little disappointing. I think that you would hope that he levels up this season, gets up into the 30s for passing touchdown. If he does, he's going to pay off in fantasy, and Hopkins will be the primary benefactor.
I agree. And, he had a Rout Bush problem last year, if you remember. It wasn't a tree.
And, I mean, I still have Hopkins at 5, and you can't doubt the production that he put up last year, but it's so frustrating to see the way that he is utilized in this Arizona offense. For fantasy purposes, last year he finished outside of the top 36 far more than elite wide receiver should. And all reports out of Arizona training camp, he's going to be used the exact same way. He's going to be on his side. There will be no creativity moving these guys around. He'll be over in the X position. AJ Green will be over in the Y, and that is that for the Cliff offense.
As opposed to what you see with Adams, where he's being moved around all the elite wide receivers.
I mean, you move him around from left to right. Sometimes you put him in the slot. Like, you find mismatches.
What if you find out that, like, they wanted to do that, and it was Hopkins? Like, he's more comfortable. What if he said, I want to be over here?
I will say this. Either way, no matter whose decision it is, he's been great. he's dominating from his Rout Bush. He would dominate if they move him around. I don't think that's
any concerns with another elite talent on the other side of the
zero concerns of any elite talent on the other side.
Oh, man.
AJ Green's been catching a lot of touchdowns in camp when he's been out there.
Yeah, I would probably bet on more multi-touchdown games from Green this year than Hopkins.
I would take that bet.
How many bets should I put on AJ Green in a course of a year, though?
All of them. If
more than one
me,
is are unhealthy.
Are they all protected against injury?
No. Are you kidding me?
Okay, let's move forward here. Justin Jefferson comes in at 6. I have him at 4. Mike at 6. Jason at 7. Last year, 88 for 1,407. Didn't even get started till week 3. Finished at 6 at the position. Rookie records through and through. 22 years old. Better at home. In fact, all his touchdowns came at home.
Interesting.
Yeah, that probably anomalous at this point of his career, but interesting nonetheless. I don't see a way for it to go wrong outside of injury for Justin Jefferson. Too explosive, too much separation. Best deep passer in terms of, Kirk Cousins throwing the ball to him down the field where he is getting more separation than anybody at that level of the defense. So I have confidence, but we're getting into a lower, level of wide receiver here where there are at least viable reasons why it can go wrong.
Certainly. Do you see a in the range of outcomes and upside, do you see a wide receiver one finish possible for Justin Jefferson?
Overall number one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I'm the lowest on him, but I think that his talent was clearly evident.
What's your percentage chance for him? I mean, just to for Mike.
It's not high. It would be below 10%, you know, 5%.
That's about where I would be too.
Okay. But and I'm lower on Justin Jefferson because I'm lower on the passing game in its entirety. We've talked about this a lot ad nauseum in the off season, just how many points the Vikings had to put up. I mean, they were giving up 35, 40, 50 points. Like, you know, it was not the normal Mike Zimmer defense that you see. And so then you got to air it out. You got to get the yards. And Justin Jefferson was unbelievable. So, yes, he could finish as the wide receiver one. He could just come in and maybe he's the next Jerry Rice. I mean, we don't know how high Justin Jefferson can go career-wise. And so I will not put a cap on his ceiling, but if I'm projecting probabilities, when I look at the Minnesota Vikings, I think their offense takes a step back from the counting stats that they achieved last year on a per game basis, and Justin Jefferson will probably have fewer yards than he had in his rookie year.
I think it'll be more of the same. They were 11th in points per game last year. I don't see them transitioning their offense away from Jefferson. Mike, you have him at 6. Third round ADP. You happy with that? Wide receiver 8 off the board. So
yeah, I don't have a problem.
We're actually
with
higher than the ADP.
And you know, I kind of highlighted it when I was taking away from Adam Thielen in the ice show that once Justin Jefferson really emerged, because he had a couple good weeks at the beginning, but it wasn't until week 10 that it was. There was a really clear change, and all of a sudden, Justin Jefferson's pulling in nearly 30% of the targets from, you know, weeks 10 through the end of the season. He averaged over 10 targets a week. Like that is absolutely absurd volume.
Justin Jefferson is being drafted at a spot where, even though I have him at 7, I love taking him there because the upside is tremendous. Last year, he had 7 touchdowns to Adam Thielen's 14.
Right.
If those go the other way and Justin Jefferson becomes the one, outstanding upside.
DK Metcalf comes in at 7. Jason the highest with him at 6. What do you like about Metcalf coming into the year?
I like touchdowns. That's what I like. they score a lot of points. They make me fantasy happy. The reality is...
they make me fantasy happy?
They make me fantasy happy, baby.
Okay.
Russell Wilson's a quarterback. Russell Wilson's going to be a top 12 guy. He's going to throw for around 35 touchdowns, and DK Metcalf is someone that makes every other human look stupid. So, I mean, you don't want to overthink these things. You can talk about the nuance of...
New offensive coordinator.
New offensive coordinator, specific to change because they want to be more run-happy. Rashad Penny is coming on to form, so maybe they can really have the two-headed monster they've wanted for the last several years, run more, pass less. They've talked about getting the ball out of the hands of Russell Wilson quicker, meaning maybe shorter routes for DK Metcalf. There's a lot of different ways you can paint the picture. But in the end, the reason I'm high on him is just because I think he's the clear number one for a great offensive quarterback.
Not just a one-trick pony, red zone beast. So... Yeah, I'm with you. If you go running back first round, you could take Metcalf. He's in the middle of the second round right now. He is going higher than where we have him ranked. Are you comfortable with him as your wide receiver one?
I'm comfortable with him as my wide receiver one if I got him in the third.
Right. Which
because if I go running back, and DK Metcalf, I'm happy. But to avoid, you know, a Clyde Edwards-Alaire or an Antonio Gibson or one of these guys that's in the second round to take a DK, I haven't been drafting him as much as, you know, Jefferson falls lower, and I think the ceiling is just as high there.
Yeah, his ADP, he's in a bad spot for me because I'm with Jason. I'd rather take one of those running backs that happens to fall into the second round or Calvin Ridley if I'm taking a wide receiver in that spot.
Allen Robinson comes in at 8. He's going as the wide receiver 11 in the late third round, so he could end up – Same question with Robinson. Are you happy with him as your one if you go running back, running back?
Yeah. Yes. Most everyone that we're talking about, I want them to be my third pick because my first two went great. That's what I want.
Last year, 102 for 1250 and 6. He finished at 12. So we do have him ranked ahead of his where he finished last year in 16 games. I've done a lot of reading about Bears camp and what's happening there. I walked away from that research strongly convinced that Andy Dalton's the quarterback.
For how long?
That question is an impossible answer when you have a magician as your head coach.
Budget magician.
But Andy Dalton he's been called the starter. He has played up to that level in camp in a very pronounced way. He's been very good. And so it got me thinking about what does upside mean? Because I love Darnell Mooney, right? Like, it's Robinson and Mooney and everybody right. else in camp. Is the best thing for Robinson and Mooney good Andy Dalton as opposed to a quarterback transition partway through the year? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And for Darnell Mooney, it certainly is. It's very rare for a rookie quarterback to come in and support two wide receivers for fantasy. That doesn't happen a lot. And the reality is Andy Dalton supported. It's so funny because he was such a huge disappointment. I mean, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, these guys were going to crush, and they all disappointed because of Andy Dalton. But they didn't suck. They were good. I mean, CeeDee Lamb and right. Amari Cooper were good for fantasy in general, just bad compared to Dak. And I think that Andy Dalton, 33-year-old version of Andy Dalton, it's probably Allen Robinson's best quarterback he's ever played with.
That's kind of where I'm at. And, like, I had to dig in.
Does he still have the beard?
That's a good question.
Oh, great question.
Very important question.
Producers, please get on that.
I mean, Dalton, you better keep that beard.
The red beard?
Yeah.
I had to dig into it because, you know, fantasy Twitter and the hype train, they're going to show you sidearm passes from Justin Fields.
Which that pass was awesome.
Which was great. But when you dig into what's happening at camp, you know, there's been some growing pains for Fields, right? It's like one day he looks good, one day he looks like he's got a long way to go, but it seems like Dalton's been very consistent, and the Bears fans I talked to are very happy that they at least have the luxury of bringing him along at an appropriate pace. Now, Dalton could force the issue for them, but it just made me think, like, if you got good Andy Dalton, that could be the best thing for Robinson, could be the best thing for Mooney, and for the Bears overall, at least in year one. So
Allen Robinson,
maybe some more upside for Robinson than we even give him credit for.
Yeah, I mean, the upside is an ironic word to use with him because, you know, Justin Jefferson can finish as the wide receiver one, absolutely. Allen Robinson cannot.
Right.
Just because the offense, the touchdowns, the explosive nature, that's not happening. But here is what's happening. 151 targets, 151 targets, 154 targets, 151 targets. He demands the ball so much that he can't really finish outside of wide receiver 15. Like, he's like wide receiver 10 to 15. He's as safe a wide receiver as there is.
We keep asking the question, are you happy with him as your wide receiver one? And my answer is yes, I'm happy, but I'm not thrilled. And for exactly what you were talking about, Jason, where, I mean, you have the next guy on our list, which
Keenan Allen
is ridiculous. Because Jason, seriously, wide receiver 13 for Keenan Allen?
Look, I stat these players out and let the chips fall where they fall. I'll take a look.
Have you thought that your statistics suck?
I have
Keenan
never
Allen,
thought
man.
That.
So, I mean, this is a player that we both
Goodness.
Prefer to Allen Robinson. Keenan
yes.
comes in at 9. I am with you, Mike. I think the feeling you get when Allen Robinson is locked in as your one is just kind of like, all right, sure, okay.
Yeah.
And that's sad for Allen.
it is.
Robinson, that is. Now, Keenan Allen, on the other hand, we do have him higher at 8 in our rankings, Mike, and then Jason at 13, which, look, I respect the philosophy. You stat players out according to how you believe they're going to perform, and then you don't necessarily freak out when the rankings come back the way they do.
And speaking to that gap, to defend or enlighten, the players...
How are you taking it? Are you enlightening
players,
or are you defending?
Well, no, that's up to you to decide.
Okay.
Whether the players between Allen Robinson and Keenan are McLaurin, A.J. Brown, Amari Cooper, C.D. Lamb, like really great options. There's not a large gap, but the reason he's behind them, they're both going to have 150-plus targets. They both have the opportunity for touchdowns, but I don't think double digits is really where they're at. The difference is Keenan Allen works closer to the line of scrimmage. So on a yards per reception level, he's going to need more than Allen Robinson will in a half PPR. If this is full PPR, they're probably right next to each other.
Yeah, I mean, very easy math here. 100 catches last year for just 992 yards for Keenan Allen, and that's with what was really an impressive year from Justin Herbert, who did stretch the field when he had the opportunity to do so.
And that was also – he actively missed two games and –
Actively missed?
Because he was out.
Right.
And he inactively missed one game where he demanded to the world, play
that
me.
Game!
Play me. And then he caught one pass.
You shriveled up into like a sad man.
Because that was the cupboard under the stairs. The
how are you not penalizing him in your rankings for that move he did to you personally?
Because I looked into my heart, Jason, and I found forgiveness for an elite wide receiver.
That just means he won a title with him in previous years.
He told everyone, that's exactly what it means. He told everyone, play me, I'm going to be awesome, and then didn't play.
Volume is guaranteed for Keenan Allen.
But the point is,
that's the nice thing about a mid-third round pick.
146 targets in essentially 13 games. And Justin Herbert was a rookie and will now be better.
Also,
Hold on.
Austin Eckler will be back. Demand a number of targets behind the line of scrimmage as well. Didn't play a lot with Austin Eckler last year. New head coach, new offensive coordinator. So there are some variables there, and the ceiling for Keenan is not the same as Ridley. It's not the same as Jefferson. It's not the same as Metcalf. So that would be kind of the, you know, you have to decide as a fantasy player what kind of wide receiver one you want on your team, because Keenan is not all of the kinds. Is that fair?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
A.J. Brown at 10. Wow, we all have him there. Man.
Looky there.
A.J. Brown's at 10. Finished at 11 last year. Look, I think he's going to have the same stat line as last season. I really do. I think 100 targets, 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and double-digit touchdowns. Missed a couple games last year. Julio's going to demand targets. He just will, by being always open and a dominant physical force on the field. Could threaten some of the touchdown totals, but the numbers that you're looking from Brown are big plays. They're breaking a tackle and taking it to the house. It's over the top. It's I just don't think it's going to be – that ceiling of top five is removed with Julio's addition, but – otherwise, you should be really happy with Brown.
Yeah, prior to Julio coming to town, I mean, the ceiling of being the wide receiver one overall was certainly within reach.
Yeah.
His talent is there to do it, and I think Ryan Tannehill could support that. But as you brought up, Julio Jones is going to have a lot of success, and if Julio Jones, you know, grabs an 80-yard catch, those yards are no longer available for A.J. Brown. So it's just –
can he loan them out?
Oh, man, that'd be great. Just after the game, a little shifting around of stats.
Yeah, we would come doing.
I was too short of 100. Can I get 2 of your yards?
What is the technical stat line if Julio takes a pass 79 yards and laterals it to A.J. Brown on the one? I mean, he'll get the touchdown,
yeah.
but that's not a 79-yard pass.
Does he get one receiving yard?
It's a rushing yard.
So Julio gets no credit for that,
I think you're right.
So it'd be a 1 yard rush for AJ Brown?
Right. Unless he taps it forward, in which case it's illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal double pass, yes.
Then he gets nothing.
All right. What you're not getting with AJ Brown is volume. Guaranteed volume. You're probably going to have more games where he disappears, especially on a year where Julio may be the efficiency master of a Tannehill game, and it could be Julio, Henry, and AJ Brown. You're going, wait, what happened? I think that'll happen at least 3 or 4 times this year. Without question. There is also the kind of overarching, like, hey, when will they regress as an offense? Like, we thought it was last year.
And they lost their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He's now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and they hired internally. So hopefully everything stays the same, but that is another variable in the mixture here.
Yeah, no question. And like I brought up earlier, 48% of his touchdowns have come from 30-plus yards out. So you are he is a big play receiver that I think with Julio's addition does not have the chance at massive volume. So that's why he's at 10.
Yep.
Who are you most worried about busting from this top 10 list? Is there one player that you think, oh, no. Like, is it Metcalf or Jefferson? Are those the two at the top of that list? Just because it's they're younger and less established? I mean,
if anyone is, what are we calling a bust? Falling down to what wide receiver range?
15 or later, since you're taking them in the top 10. So that's not a crazy bust. Let's call it 20 or later.
Yeah, let's. Okay. Because 15 or later, I'm probably going to go okay. Keenan, because he's close there. But if we're talking about more of an outright, really disappointing season,
20 or lower. For me, it's AJ Brown.
Yeah, AJ Brown makes a lot of sense. It's between him and maybe
Allen.
Metcalf.
I'd say Allen Robinson. For me.
Okay.
Just because we saw the second half of the year. I think Metcalf was the wide receiver 24 in the last 8 weeks, and if that That's is true. The offense they put forward, I think it's possible.
So insane where you had DK Metcalf through like the first 8 games averaging nearly 100 receiving yards a game. To go from that to what they put up in the second half, so bizarre.
Any of these wide receivers' dynasty windows closing? Like, would you be actively trading them in dynasty? Like,
so I am currently, and my plan, I'll tell you guys, you're in the league and whatnot. I'm in somewhat of a rebuild, a soft rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a team that can... Soft rebuild. I'm not tearing it down to the nubs.
That's a good description.
You're leaving up one wall
exactly.
Because there will be tax savings, because now it is a remodel and not a fresh...
That's exactly what
it is.
If
you go inside the house, you can see the studs.
That's exactly what it is. I've got like my Chris Godwin, CeeDee Lamb
wall. Yeah,
you
got the one wall.
That corner is intact, and now I'm working pieces.
How's your running back wall?
But yeah, I'm looking to, at some point this year, when a contender needs it, try to trade Allen Robinson, because he's going to be great, great this year. He's still young enough to have value. But in my position, I want more youth. So I'm going to try to trade him for a high-end prospect and a pick.
All right.
Are you like actively pitching us right now for
no.
a trade?
No, not at all.
I heard the he's going to be awesome part.
Yeah, I feel like you're talking him up even more. You're using the platform of the show specifically for your trade purposes for our
Mike,
dynasty.
What do you think the
All
odds?
All I do is win.
What are the odds that Robinson signs a deal with Chicago long term and then is paired with Fields and then makes you excited about the future?
Much higher than they were. Before the draft pick of Justin Fields, I would put it at, you know, let's go 35%.
Ooh, that is not high.
I am so all about Darnell Mooney in dynasty leagues right now.
I get that.
We want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting the show. Brooks, what do we have going on tomorrow, by the way?
Tomorrow? More wide receiver rankings.
You sounded like you were just
trying
to get the headset back on. Like, what's going on over there?
Were you eating a club sandwich back there?
He was in the bathroom, had to run back. Oh, they called me.
He dove. He put the headset back on. What's tomorrow?
My hair.
What's tomorrow?
We're getting to the really interesting names of wide receivers.
Okay. So another wide receiver ranking
tier.
Show.
Yes, sir.
The more complicated tier of wide receivers. Was Brooks eating an apple salad during the show? That's what I want to know. Because it's possible.
Yeah.
You never know.
Calvin Ridley signed jersey on Pristine Auction, $23 right now. It ends on Tuesday night if you want to scoop up that sweet deal. Derrick Henry signed jerseys up there for $85. That's also a Tuesday night auction. Hundreds of daily sports memorabilia auctions. Check them out. PristineAuction.com. Use the code BALLERS. Wide receiver rankings? Oh, no.
Hey,
oh, no.
Hey.
Rankings part two tomorrow. Almost made it through the show. That's good. Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to find out what's going on. We'll post rankings, not wankings.
Oh, no. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers.